Baptist Church Manila. Let's start our first service. Magsimula na po tayo ating first service, and let's get our hymn books and turn to hymn number 202. Let's sing the song My Redeemer. Lord, that you would continue to bless this church. We ask forgiveness for all the sins that we've done, O God. And we're asking all of these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Verity Baptist Church. Take out your bulletin here today. We'll go through a couple announcements. And our verse of the week is Ezekiel 28, verse 15. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. And that's a great verse there. We are a family integrated church, meaning children and infants are welcome during the services. We do have a mother baby room back there for your convenience, as well as a ladies' comfort room. The men's comfort room is up here in front. Remember, no eating during the service. Maintain a professional atmosphere and keep the children from running and making noise during the church services. First service is at 10 a.m. Then we have a short break in our 11:15 service. Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. So many times listed on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. meeting here at the church building. Then on Saturdays, we have all-day soul winning at Quezon Memorial Circle. Lunch is provided by church. Sunday afternoon, of course, we do have soul winning after lunch around 1:45. And you're welcome to feel free to stay around and fellowship after soul winning. But we do close the building at 6 p.m. Salvations and baptisms are listed there for all of our churches, as well as Bible study fellowships. And we have birthdays and anniversaries for the month of June. On the next page, our Bible memorization challenge. And today is the last day to quote Matthew 2, verses 1 through 11, which I'll be preaching on in the second service. And then for this next week, it's Matthew 2, verses 12 through 23. So 12 verses to memorize if you want to get the prize. And of course, ages 8 to 10 and below 8, we still have the same memorization that we've had before. Upcoming activities, we do have men's choir practice here today. And then we have choir practice next week. And then we have a soul winning marathon in 8 days on June 12th. And so it's Independence Day. And so you have the freedom to do whatever you want, right? But I would encourage you to go soul winning if you can. But anyways, that should be fun. And obviously at this time of year, it gets very hot. So if you're going soul winning on, especially if you're one of the Saturday soul winners and you're going on Sunday, also on Monday, obviously it's okay if you take a break, drink lots of water. You don't have to do it all day. We understand it is hot this time of year. I thought it was very hot yesterday when we went soul winning. We're like, man, just walking to the park is rough. But anyways, we do have soul winning marathon in 8 days on June 12th. Father's Day is coming up in 2 weeks, so we do have our Father's Day bowling event. So we do have a sign-up sheet back there, so if you can sign up if you're planning to bowl. And once again, anybody who gets a perfect 300, you will get a prize, okay? I think that's incredibly unlikely, but you know, you never know. You deserve a prize if you get a 300. But anyways, our monthly prayer meeting is in 3 weeks. Current upcoming series, we are in the alphabet of Bible doctrines and in the book of Matthew. Information on a group chat. And then on the back, there's a place for notes for the sermons here today. So I forgot to put up the poll on our group chat. The letter S is Satan. I don't think anyone would have guessed it. You would have said salvation or sanctification or something that would be more likely, but it's actually on Satan or the devil is what we'll talk about here today. But anyways, that's it for announcements. Well, Brother Marlon, lead us in another song.
For our next song, let's turn to hymn number 222.
Thank you. for a scripture reading. Please open your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 28. You have Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Sorry. Book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 28. You have Lamentations and Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 28, we will only be reading the verses 1 down to verse 15. Please say amen if you're there. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 1 down to verse 15. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord God, Because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. Yet thou art a man and not God. Though thou said thine heart is the heart of God, behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by the traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou said thine heart is the heart of God, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man, and no God, in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hands of strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. Bless the reading of God's word. Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given to us. I pray, Lord, that you please bless, Lord, for this day. Give us good weather, Lord, for our soul winning and fellowship later on. And I pray, Lord, that you please bless the preaching of your word, Lord, this day. We love you in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
All right, we're here in Ezekiel chapter 28. We're continuing our series on the alphabet of Bible doctrines, looking at Satan for the letter S. Looking at Satan. Now, the Bible does not really say a whole lot about Satan, probably not as much as you would think if you're first reading the Bible. There's definitely a lot of information we will look at, though. But let's just be very clear. Satan is real, okay? He is a real fallen angelic being. And you know what? There's people that try to make the Bible all symbolic, and they go way too far, and he symbolizes evil or something like that. A lot of religions say things like that, but if you're a Bible-believing Christian, there is no doubt that Satan is real, okay? And point number one about Satan or the devil is this, that he was created. He is not eternal. He was created by God. Ezekiel 28, verse 11, Moreover, the word of the Lord came on me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Now, when it comes to books like Ezekiel and prophecy passages, people get very confused because there's often dual and sometimes even more than two applications to a particular passage. Here it says in verse number 12, the king of Tyrus. And he is speaking about the king of Tyrus, but you're going to see a transition because in verse 13, it's very clear this is no longer the king of Tyrus. Verse 13, Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Look, in the garden of Eden, you had Adam, you had Eve, and you had the serpent. Right? This is obviously not referring to Eve because it's a king. It's obviously not referring to Adam unless you believe some weird things like the Mormons do, right? Like we talked about last week. This is referring to the devil. This is referring to Satan. It says, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." So it's very clear here in Ezekiel 28, verse 15, that Satan was created. He is not eternal like some religions like Zoroastrianism, where they teach that Angra Mainyu, which is like their version of Satan, was eternal, and there's eternally a good force and a bad force, like Taoism and religions like that teach. No, the Bible's very clear. God was at the beginning, existing eternally in three persons, and then Satan was created by God. Okay, go to John chapter 1. John 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And the Bible says this in John 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, we know the Word is referring to Jesus Christ because verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." God was manifest in the flesh, referring to Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, okay? And then it says, "The same was in the beginning with God," which kind of gives a reference to the Trinity, that He exists in three persons. And it says in verse 3, "All things were made by Him." Made by who? Made by the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. All things were made by Him. "And without Him was not anything made that was made." You know what? That includes the devil. That includes Satan. Right? It's not like, you know, in Mormonism, Jesus and the devil are like these spirit brothers. It's like, no, that's not what the Bible teaches. Jesus created Satan. God the Father created the worlds through the Son, the Bible teaches, and Jesus created the devil. So when the devil's tempting Jesus and trying to get him to sin, it's like, I created you. It's like, why am I going to listen to you when I'm the one who actually created you? I'm better than you. I created you, so why would you think that you're better than me? Go in your Bible to Job chapter 1. Job 1. Job chapter 1. There's people that will say things like, well, you know what, I believe the Bible's just being symbolic when it talks about the devil. And you know what? My thought would be, you've never read the Bible, have you? I mean, because you read these passages about the devil, we're going to look at it in Job chapter 1, you can't just make it all symbolic. Obviously, there's symbolism in the Bible, but you take things literally unless there's a reason not to.
Right.
Just like when somebody talks to you, you take what they say literally. Right? I mean, if somebody says something to you, you take it literally. Unless it's obvious they're joking or being sarcastic or using an analogy, you're going to take it literally. Same thing with the Word of God. When we read the Bible, we take it literally unless there's a reason not to. When the Bible speaks about the devil, it's because he's real, but he was created by God.
That's right.
So point number one, Satan was created by God. And point number two, Satan has limited ability. He has limited ability. Notice what it says in Job 1, verse 6. "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." Now, here in Job 1, it talks about the sons of God presenting themselves before the Lord, and it says Satan came also among them. Now, the book of Job, most primarily later in the book, I think it's chapter 38, and Genesis 6 are the two passages people try to use to say that angels are sons of God, right? They'll go to the book of Job. But what's interesting is people would read this verse and say, well, see, Satan is a son of God. But if you know basic English grammar, this verse teaches Satan is not a son of God. Because it says, "And Satan came also among them," or in addition. So you've got the sons of God also this person. It doesn't say Satan was one of them. It says he came also, which means he's not one of them, meaning he's not a son of God. If you take the Bible, and you know what's funny is, when I say things like this when I preach, what I get accused of by people is, well, I mean, you're taking it too literally. That's a good accusation to make about me. I take the Bible literally. If it says Satan came also, I'm like, okay, that means he's not one of the sons of God. This is just basic English grammar. It uses the word also for a reason. Okay? Now go to Hebrews chapter 1. I want to go on a bit of a rabbit trail about this. Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1. And by the way, people are kind of stuck in a tough situation when they believe that the fallen angels are sons of God, because most people would not say that Satan is a son of God. But if other fallen angels are sons of God, that would make Satan a son of God. Right? So there would be no difference. He would be like the chief head architect of the sons of God, but he would also be a son of God if the other ones are. And sometimes we go to Job 1 to try to show that in Job 1 verse 6. But if it says Satan came also among them, that disproves the fact that they're sons of God, that fallen angels are sons of God. Now the Bible says this in Hebrews 1 verse 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. So the Bible says, to which of the angels said he at any time? What the Bible's saying is God has never said to an angel that they are a son of God. Never. Not in the very beginning, not later on. They were never called sons of God. You say, well, who are the sons of God? I mean, who's presenting themselves before the Lord? Save people that are already in heaven. Amen. You say, oh, Brother Sutton, but nobody went to heaven in the Old Testament. Look, you've got too many problems for me to fix in one sermon with your doctrine. When people died in the Old Testament, guess what? They went to heaven. You say, but the sins weren't paid for yet. Jesus was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the Bible says. Amen. And when people died in the Old Testament, they went to heaven. Okay, save people. This is why Jesus rebukes Nicodemus, and he said, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? He's like, you don't understand the concept of being born again, because it's all throughout history. Because guess what? People in the Old Testament were sinners that deserved hell, and they were not born sons of God, and they had to become sons of God just like we do today. Right? Except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. The Bible says you must be born into God's family. Here's the thing. Angels desire to look into the things about salvation, and they don't get it. Angels are not humans. Angels are different than humans. Angels aren't judged by what they believe, because every angel knows what the truth is because they've seen God. They know what the truth is. That doesn't get them to heaven, because they're judged by their works. The ones that rebelled, they were rejected, which we're going to see in this sermon. Us as saved people, though, here's the thing. In a way, we're judged by our works, because if you have any sins on your record when you die, you're guilty. And see, the only way that we get an opportunity to get forgiveness is by believing on Jesus Christ. So if you're unsaved, well, yeah, God's going to judge you by your works, and it's guilty. As saved people, we're innocent, and God judging us by our works, well, there's no sins against us. And we merely get rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. But he's never said to an angel, thou art my son. And it says in verse 6, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Worship who? Worship Jesus Christ, right? Why would they be worshiping him? Because he's God. Go to 1 John 3. 1 John 3. I mean, it makes sense Jesus is God because he's the creator. All things were made by him, right? So he is God, all things, including meaning that he was not created by anyone. All things were made by Jesus Christ because he's eternally existed as the Son of God. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. The Bible talks about the love he's bestowed upon us, and the proof of that love is he calls us sons of God, and he treats us like sons of God. Now here's the thing. People that believe that angels are sons of God, they seem to not believe angels are sons of God in the New Testament. And it's like, I don't get it. If they were sons of God in the Old Testament, why wouldn't they be sons of God today? But they try to pull up a few verses to say, well, wait a minute. In the Old Testament, the sons of God are actually fallen angels. Well, why wouldn't they be sons of God today? It doesn't make any sense, right? Sons of God throughout the Bible are people that believe, people that are saved. And God has a special love upon us, not upon the angels. He calls us sons of God, and he treats us like sons of God. How do you treat your children? You punish them, you discipline them, you never kick them out of the family, You never forsake them. They are your children forever, and you love them forever. Right? And he's put a special love upon us that are saved. Verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And the Bible says that we're going to get that glorified body, and it doesn't yet appear what we're going to be right now. Because right now, we are frail man, frail woman that's going to grow old and die, right? And quite honestly, the Bible is very clear in the book of Hebrews that angels are created better than us in terms of their power in life here. We are frail human beings that are going to grow old and die. However, then we are going to rule and reign with Christ, which the angels are not going to do. And we are going to be above them and better than them, right? Now turn back to Job chapter 1. Job 1. Job 1. And you're turning to Job 1. Let me just say this, though. When you read Genesis 6, isn't it clear that God is angry at man, at mankind, not at angels? Right? Why does he flood the world? Because the sin of man. That's the reason why. Not these, well, half man, half angels. I thought of a new term yesterday. He's not mad at mangels. Right? These mangelic creatures that are half human, half man, half angels, these mangels that exist. There are no mangels, my friend. There are human beings, there are angels, and there's no in-between.
That's right.
Right? He's mad at man. That's why he floods the world. And guess what? Why is he going to destroy the world again one day? Because of sin. Why did he destroy the world in Genesis 19? Because of sin. The sin of man. Right? What's he going to do during the end times? He's going to destroy the world. Why? Because sin is going to run rampant. And you look out at our world today and you can see it coming. It's getting worse and worse and worse and worse, but apparently it's not bad enough yet. It's going to get worse than this. It's not going to get better. Job 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Meaning, where did you come from? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Now, when God asks this question to the devil here, where did you come from? He already knows the answer. It's kind of like, you know, you catch your kids doing something, like they do something bad, and it's like, what were you doing? I wasn't doing anything. What are you talking about? You already know the answer. But he's asking the devil anyway, and out of the mouth of the devil, if you pay close attention in verse 7, the devil is stating that he is not omnipresent because he's going to and fro in the earth. It's kind of like, well, that's funny because God doesn't have to go to and fro in the earth because he's everywhere. But see, Satan was created by God with limited power, and right here we're seeing he's not omnipresent. He's not everywhere. Look, Satan is not here today in this room. In my opinion, I think it's pretty obvious Satan has bigger fish to fry than our church. He's got more important things to worry about. I seriously doubt he is with us right now because he's not omnipresent. He's not everywhere at once. Verse number 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job that there is none like him in the earth? A perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And the God, the Lord, brings up Job. Now, what is the devil coming to talk about? He's coming to talk about Job because he's ready with a response. This is exactly what he wants to talk about. And guess what? The devil doesn't know God's going to bring up Job. The devil didn't know that God was going to ask that question before. And what you're seeing is God is omniscient. Satan is not omniscient. Not omnipresent according to verse 7. Not omniscient, according to verse 8. He's not all-knowing. Verse 9. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. What does God say? He's like, you know what? I will allow you to do this except for this. What's that show you? Satan is not omnipotent. He's not omnipotent. He's not all-powerful, right? So he's not omnipresent. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipotent. He's not all-powerful. He's not all-knowing. And he is not everywhere at one time. Why? He was created with limited ability. There is no comparison between God and the devil. It's not like, well, you know what? You got God over here. He's the heavyweight champion of the world. And you got the number one contender that's the underdog. But it's a close fight. It's not a close fight.
Right.
It's literally, just with the smallest ounce of energy, God could easily destroy the devil. It's not a close fight. And the devil might somehow think he's going to win the battle, but he's an idiot. He's not going to win the battle. Okay, go to Job chapter 2. Job 2, verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also, or came in addition, showing he's not one of the sons of God, among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? Where'd you come from? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Same thing, he is not omnipresent because he's going to and fro in the earth. He's not everywhere. Verse number 3, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, and a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. I mean, God says, have you considered my servant Job? And, you know, probably in the mind of Satan, it's like, you know what, I've been thinking about him like 24-7. Trying to get him to mess up. That's what he's actually coming to talk about. And then God brings him up first, because once again, God is omniscient and the devil is not. Verse 4. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. Once again, Satan is not omnipotent. He can't just do anything that he wants. God is all-powerful, way above the devil. There's no comparison between the two of them. Go to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14. And so point number one, Satan was created. He is not eternal. He was created by God. You say, Brother Stuckey, when was he created? Well, obviously before Genesis chapter 3. Right? But he was created by God, and he was created with limited ability. He does not have the power of God by any stretch of the imagination. Now, you know what? I'm not saying the devil has no power whatsoever, but I am saying this. He kind of gets beat up by other angels in the Bible if you've read it. So it's not like he's like this all-powerful, you know, being that's so... I mean, actually, he gets beat up by other angels in the Bible. So he's not the number one contender. He's like number 27 or something like that. I don't know, right? He was powerful. He's just the one that became very arrogant and wanted to be God, which we're going to see here in Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? See, point number three is this. There is an initial rejection of the devil. There is an initial rejection of the devil. Now realize that when he is initially rejected, he still has access to heaven. We saw Satan go to heaven in the book of Job, right? But there is an initial rejection that takes place. And notice what it says here in verse 13. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And what does Satan want? He wants to be God. He wants to be the Most High. He wants everybody to bow down and worship him. He wants to be Almighty God. That's what Satan's after, right? I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And that is referencing the final rejection we'll talk about later on. But there was an initial rejection where Satan got lifted up. He's like, I will be like the Most High. And you know what? He gets brought down with an initial rejection. Go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3. Genesis chapter 3. Point number one, Satan was created. Point number two, he has limited ability. Point three, there is an initial rejection. Point four, let us talk about the purpose or the ministry of the devil. And the word ministry is not necessarily a good thing, just like that's kind of his calling or what he's after. What is Satan really trying to do? Like, what is he doing here on earth? What is his purpose? What is his goal? What is he trying to do? Genesis 3, verse 1, and it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And we see here that Satan comes to the woman and he's going to deceive her. And he asks this question. He's like, "Hath God said?" He didn't say that God did not say that. He just kind of puts the question out there. I mean, you know, are you sure this is what God said? Is that really? I mean, are you sure the Bible says we're supposed to go soul winning? Are you sure the Bible says this? Are you sure the Bible says that? Be very careful when people are trying to put questions in your head to make you doubt.
Right.
Okay. Verse 2, "And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And of course, it's a very famous story. And then, you know, there's a punishment for the serpent and also for man and woman here in Genesis 3. But what Satan's doing is he's misquoting the Bible, he's misrepresenting it, he's misleading with what he says, and he's trying to get man to fall. And you have to ask yourself this question, why? Like, what does Satan have against man? Like, why is he angry about this? Obviously, you would say that Satan hates God and he's opposed to God, but he also has an anger against man. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And notice what it says in Genesis 1, verse 26. "And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Did you know the Bible teaches that man is made in the image of God? That's what the Bible says. And in verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." Now, it is Father God, not Mother God, because man is made in the image of God, but then it says he created them, like male and female. So man is made in the image of God, according to Genesis 1, verse 27. Male and female are created by God. Okay, there is a distinction there, right? Obviously, it's God the Father, and you have the Son of God, okay? But man is made in the image of God. God, Satan has a hatred toward mankind. You know, I think there's a few reasons why. Number one, because if he sees us, it kind of reminds him of God, because man is made in the image of God. But not only this, man is created with less power than angels. Very clearly, we get old. I mean, you got Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We grow old, we get frail, we get died. However, we are sons of God and angels are not. And they will never be sons of God. They will never rule and reign with Christ. And though we are less powerful now, during the millennial reign of Christ, we will rule and reign with Christ. Right. Now look, I'm not saying we're going to become a god or anything weird like that. That is not what I'm teaching. But we will rule and reign with Christ. Angels will not. And see, we were created lesser than angels, but yet better, because we're going to inherit something much better than them. And you know what? It's kind of frustrating to Satan, because like, wait a minute. I'm stronger, I'm smarter, and all of these things, and yet you're going to be above me? And it makes him mad that we're going to inherit above him. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Look, Satan is trying to destroy your life. That's his objective. That's his goal. Satan wants to destroy your life. See, God, not only does God want us to be saved, if you're in this room, I presume you're saved, right? Vast majority, if not everybody of age to believe, has believed on Jesus Christ for their salvation. And God, the Bible says, wants you to have an abundant life. He wants to bless your life. He wants to help you out. God wants you to have a good life and successful life here on earth. Satan, on the other hand, he's going to promise you things, but he's lying to you. And he has a goal to destroy your life. It's like, oh man, God has all these rules. He doesn't want you to drink, you know, alcohol. He doesn't want you to, and this is not alcohol, okay? This is water. But he doesn't want you to drink liquor. I mean, that's so, you know, wrong of him to put all these rules on you. And people are so bobo. It's like, yeah, that's not fair. My old church said I shouldn't drink alcohol. I'm going to show them and destroy my life. Destroy your marriage. Destroy being a good parent. Destroy being successful at work. Destroy your health. I mean, your liver, your kidneys, everything. Take 20 years off my life. Yeah, Satan really loves you. He's destroying your life because sin will destroy your life, right? Yes, God has some rules, but you know what? If you love someone and you're the authority over them, you give them rules. Let me give you some basic rules we have at our house. There is a bedtime for our kids. You say, Brother Stock, can you let them stay up till, you know, 1 a.m. doing whatever they want? No! Do you let them just eat ice cream for breakfast? No! Oh, Brother Stucky, you hate your kids. That's absurd. What is called is kids don't have the understanding or knowledge of parents. They don't get it. Because guess what I would have loved to eat every breakfast when I was a kid? Chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream. Right? That's what I would have loved to eat every single day for breakfast. Chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream, pizza, potato chips. Yeah, that's what I would have loved to do as a kid. Why? Because you don't have that understanding when you're a kid. Right? Satan wants to destroy your life. God wants you to have a good life, though. And the Bible says here in Hebrews 1, let me turn there myself, Hebrews 1, verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Angels are here to minister unto us. That's what the Bible says. Right? It's kind of like this example. Let's say that you were rich and you had a giant mansion and you had butlers and cooks and you had a big house. You're very rich and successful. Here's the thing. If you have a newborn son, that newborn son does not have the skill level, intelligence, strength, or anything that the butler does or the cook has. But that newborn son is going to one day inherit the house. Right? And here's the thing, you know what? Us, no, we don't have the level of intelligence of the devil or knowledge and things such as that. However, we will rule and reign with Christ, and he won't. And Satan was not willing to accept that. He's like, I will be like the Most High. He's like, I want to have authority. I don't want anyone telling me what to do. Right? And you know what? The reason why a lot of people follow the devil today is because a lot of people have that same mentality. I don't want anyone telling me what to do. How dare you say I can't drink or I can't tell lies, I can't do what I want. And it's like they want to serve the sins of their flesh and they'll destroy their life. And if they want to do it, well, they have free will. They can do whatever they want. And they side with the devil because of that very reason. They don't want to have anyone giving them any rules, right? And, you know, it's ridiculous because, you know, if you actually do what God says, God will actually bless your life and help your life. You're going to have a happier life. You'll have a longer life. You'll have a great life. People think that at a church like this, we live very sad and depressing and miserable lives. I mean, what do you guys do for fun? And it's like, you know what? My life, I can't imagine having a better life. I feel like I'm very blessed by God, not only to be saved, but I enjoy what I do. I enjoy going soul winning. I enjoy reading the Bible. I enjoy, you know, serving God and doing right. And you know, if you're serving God, you're happier. I'm sure everybody in this room, if you look back on your life 5 years ago, wherever you were before you were serving God, you would say, you know what? I enjoy my life more now. My life is better now than it was years ago when I spent all my time just on movies and music and entertainment, and I had no fulfillment in that. Right. And yet serving God, waking up, reading the Bible, going soul winning, going to church, this gives you happiness. You say, why? Because if you follow the rules of God, if you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them, the Bible says. Where are we at? Hebrews chapter 2. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 13. And the Bible says this in Hebrews 2, verse 13. And again I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And you know, when you read Hebrews 2 verse 5, I had the wrong reference. I was like, I don't think that's what I want. Hebrews 2 verse 5. It says, "For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak." He hath not put the world in subjection underneath the angels where they're resting their feet upon it, as it's saying in Hebrews. Verse 6, "But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him?" And you know, when you really stop about that thought, you look outside at the sun and the moon and the stars, and you realize there are 8 billion people on this planet. There's so much going on, and yet God has a special love and care for human beings, specifically those that are saved. And it's like, what is man that thou art mindful of him? That's the way I feel sometimes when you look out at the sky and the mountains and all these things. You're like, man, what is man that thou art mindful of him? But there is a special love upon humans above angels that is speaking about in the book of Hebrews. Verse 7, "Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. From that he put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him." Because the world today, the Bible says, Satan is the god of this world. But one day, everything is going to be underneath Jesus Christ. We will rule and reign with Christ. And angels, he didn't put the world in subjection underneath them, the Bible says. They're here as ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them that shall be heirs, that shall inherit of salvation, the Bible says. People that are saved. Turn your Bible to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. And by the way, let me say this. The Bible says that as saved people, we should not be ignorant of his devices. Because here's the thing, it's not really hard to figure out what Satan is going to do, because he does the same thing all the time. Because it works. You know, what worked before the flood still works today. Right? I mean, nothing new under the sun. Right? And so we should not be ignorant of Satan's devices. We can look at what Satan did in Genesis chapter 3. We can study that and think about that. And what we see is that woman Eve was a bit too naive. We also probably see that her husband did not do a very good job of passing on the information that he got from God. And we can learn from that. And we can see that Adam just kind of follows after his wife, what his wife says. And we can see the pattern of Satan all throughout the Bible, or people like Amnon had a friend that are doing Jonadab that are types of the devil. We can look at what they do and realize, hey, I should not be ignorant of his devices. Because we see enough in the Word of God to know what Satan is going to do. And we should know how to handle it. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Now, the Bible says Satan is seeking whom he may devour. You know what that's saying? There are certain people Satan can devour, and certain people that Satan cannot devour. Look, a lion doesn't usually attack an elephant. You say, why? Because the elephant will just stomp on him, right? The elephant's going to win. A lion, as far as I know, doesn't really attack the rhinoceros. You say, why? Because that's probably someone that he can't devour. But there are plenty of animals that a lion can devour. You know, Satan is the same way. I mean, there's certain people that he cannot devour or destroy. The Bible tells us to resist the devil. Now, here's the thing. When Satan is trying to get you to mess up and destroy your life, or he has the fallen angels underneath him that are doing the same, if you resist the devil, the Bible says he's going to flee. It does not mean that he's never going to come back, but the idea is that Satan cannot be everywhere all at the same time with all power. So basically, if he tries to harm your life and you resist it, he's going to move on to somebody else. Because he says, I can't do anything to this person. We talk to people about soul winning all the time. And they say, man, yeah, you know what? I'm going to be at church on Sunday. I'm sure many of you heard this week. Somebody told you they're going to be here at church. And here's the thing. I don't think all those people are lying when they say it. But in reality, what they mean is, I will be at church unless something comes up. If that's the attitude you take, something will always come up. Man, I'm going to read the Bible every morning unless something comes up. Oh, so you're never going to read the Bible. I'm going to go soul winning every week unless something comes up. So you're never going to go soul winning. Because if you give an opt-out option, then Satan's like, okay, I'll just give you that option. Because I realize you're not going to be in church, you're not going to go soul winning, you're not going to read the Bible if I give you that option. You must have the attitude, I will do it no matter what. Look, I understand things like sickness come up. I'm not saying nothing ever comes up. I'm just saying you must have the attitude in life, I'm not going to let an obstacle stop me from doing what's right. I mean, look, if you took this mentality to your job, man, I'm going to go to work unless something comes up. It's like, man, there's something, you know, far more entertaining, right? I mean, it's the NBA Finals. I need like 3 weeks off, you know. It's like you're going to fail in life. You must have the attitude, I'm going to do it no matter what comes up. Go to, actually, verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Go to Revelation 12. Revelation 12. Revelation chapter 12. Point number one, Satan is created. Point two, he has limited ability. Point three, there's an initial rejection. Point four, we see the ministry or objective or goal of the devil. What is he trying to accomplish? Point five, we see a final rejection. A final rejection. And it says here in Revelation 12, verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. Now here's the thing. There's already an initial rejection that took place. We saw that. However, Satan still has access to heaven. And in fact, according to Revelation 12, Satan has access to heaven today. Right? Because it's in Revelation 12 their place is found no more in heaven. Okay? The Bible says in Revelation 12, verse 8, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And what we're seeing here about the devil is he accused the brethren day and night. That's one of the big things that he does. Now, since Satan is not everywhere at once, oftentimes there'll be other fallen angels that are partaking in this. And of course, there's a lot of people that they kind of play the part of the devil, whether they're reprobates or not, just accusing other people, being filled full of gossip and things like this. And whether they realize it or not, you're not doing God's work, right? You're actually helping out the devil with what his mission is. Verse number 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. You see, this world, is it getting godlier or more sinful today? More sinful. I don't think anyone could debate that. It's getting worse and worse and worse. It will never get better.
Right.
It's always going to get worse. In my opinion, Satan is not in any rush for the end times to start. You say, why? Because as more and more people join the sides of the devil and there's more sin in the world, it's good for Satan. But eventually he's going to be cast out, and he knoweth that he hath but a short time. That's the event that's going to kick off the Great Tribulation. It's like, okay, now I know. It's like, it's time. I got to get to work. And we're going to have the biggest persecution we've ever seen. Go to Revelation 20. Revelation 20. Revelation 20. And so point number one, Satan is created. Point number two, he has limited ability. Point three, there's an initial rejection. Point four, we see the ministry or the objective of the devil. Point five, we see a final rejection. And point six, lastly, he will be cast into hell for all eternity. Now, there's kind of two stages of this. Notice what it says in Revelation 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. You say, well, how do you know Satan is the devil? Well, Revelation chapter 20, verse 2, right? Which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So what's going to take place is Satan is going to be thrown in to hell for 1,000 years, and he's bound up. So here's an example of an angel beating him up, right? An angel throws him in hell, and it's like, you can't get out. Now, whether that means he was created more powerful than Satan or whether or not God is just giving him power, either way, there's no match between the devil and God. Because he's thrown in hell and he can't get out. You say, Brother Stucky, I thought that Satan created hell. It's like, where did you read that in the Bible? It's not what the Bible teaches. Yeah, people will say, well, you know what, I'd rather be in hell than heaven. I want to be with all my friends. It's like, all right, go for it. But here's the problem you got. People in hell, because people get this idea about hell. Well, you know what, hell is just, you know, you're drinking and fornicating and doing drugs and listening to rock music. It's so great. That's not what hell is like, my friend. Satan did not create hell. Right? I mean, Satan is going to burn in hell more than anyone that has ever existed. Right? You know, somebody at our church in Pampanga, they showed me a video recently where there's this old singer named Freddie Mercury. Who knows Freddie Mercury? Who knows the band Queen? Right? And there's this clip where he says, you know what, I'd rather go to hell than heaven because that's where all my friends are. Well, when you died of AIDS because you're a homo, that's exactly what took place. Right? He died, he was a homosexual, he died of AIDS, and that's where he went for all eternity. You got exactly what you wanted. And you know what? He's probably right with all of his friends. I mean, who names a rock band Queen? By the way, this is a bit of a rabbit trail because I used to listen to a lot of rock music, but let me help you out. The song We Are the Champions is a gay anthem. We will keep on fighting to the end. It's not a sports song. It is a gay anthem. And you know what, as we're going on to these other sports songs, so is the song YMCA. It is a pedophilia song. I'm not just throwing out an accusation. Look at the words. It's like, you men will have lots of fun. There's lots of boys there, it says in the song. It was sung by a gay group, the Village People. Okay? And I get it. We hear the same songs at sporting events in the U.S. too. We Are the Champions and YMCA, because it was, you might not realize this, in the U.S. it was known that kids were getting molested at the YMCA. Because it was like a babysitting service. You drop off the kids, and the song is a gay anthem by a gay group. It's Freddie Mercury, right? But hell is not a place of sin and fun. By the way, living a sinful life doesn't make people happy. People that live a sinful life, they're not more happy than the average person. Right. They're actually miserable. It destroys your life. But hell is not a place where you just party and drink and fornicate and do all this sin. No, hell is a punishment where you burn for all eternity. Right. And Satan is thrown into hell. And the Bible says he's cast in the bottomless pit. Go down to verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. So he's there for 1,000 years. And it says, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and the fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. So by the way, beast and the false prophet are thrown in before the devil, and they don't burn up. They are still there. Why? Because hell is eternal. And it says, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Good luck being a Jehovah's Witness or a Seventh-day Adventist when you read that verse, where they believe hell is annihilation. No, it's not annihilation. That's what people like to think because they want a shorter punishment. That's not the way it is, my friend. Go to Isaiah 14. We'll close up. Isaiah 14. Isaiah chapter 14. And we looked at this earlier, but notice what it says in verse 15. This is looking toward the future, what's going to happen to the devil when he's cast into hell. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit, referring to the bottomless pit. Notice this in verse 16. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? Because here's the thing. I mean, today people look at Satan, they say he's so powerful, how can he be beaten? And yet when he's cast into hell, it's like, is this the man? Very unimpressive. It's like, what? This is the guy that deceived the whole world? Anyway, here's the reality. As Bible-believing Christians, we are very easily deceived. We are very easily led into sin. And here's the thing, you know, you can't blame the devil when you screw up your life. Well, you know what, I've been a drunk for 10 years, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. It's like, man, you know, the devil's really been fighting me. No, he's not omnipresent, so he's probably wasting zero time on you. No offense, I'm not Job, nor do I think I will ever become as good as Job. And as far as I know, no offense, but I don't think any of us are. Quite honestly, in my opinion, I seriously doubt the devil has wasted any time on me personally. Right? Now, obviously, there's fallen angels, and who knows, I could be wrong. But I'm just saying, I just feel like he has bigger fish to fry. But here's the thing. What the Bible says is, it's our own lust, according to the book of James. Don't blame the devil. Certainly don't blame God, according to James 1, but don't blame the devil either. I mean, every man is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. It's like, man, Brother Stucky, man, I know I want to read the Bible every morning, but the devil's just fighting me. It's like, no, you're just lazy. This word lazy, that is the issue. The devil is not in your house, like, fighting against you, oh, you can't do it. It's just called laziness. Or, man, Brother Stucky, I mean, I know I shouldn't do this sin or this sin. The devil's been fighting me. No, that's your own lust. It's your own lust that's causing you to do that. I mean, they look upon Satan. I mean, is this the man? And look, I'm not sitting here saying Satan has no power, because obviously he does. I'm just saying there is no comparison to God. And if you are saved, God will help you fight against sin. You've got to make your own free will choice, though. You're indwelled with the Spirit of God, and you know what? You have power. I mean, God has power, and you can pray to God and ask for help. You can overcome temptations. When you give in, it's your own sinful lust. Flesh, it's your own laziness, it's your own pride, it's your own bitterness, it's your own envy, it's your own problems in life. Any one of us can wake up and read the Bible and pray, but we don't do it. But it's not because of the devil, it's because of us. I'm not saying Satan has no power. I mean, obviously we see him having some power that God allows him to have. But here's the thing, as a Bible-believing Christian, I mean, if you, obviously we're never going to be perfect, we're going to sin, but I'll tell you what, if you're serving God, God can help you overcome the sins and problems in your life. And when you mess up, it's not Satan's fault, it's actually your fault. It's your own flesh, your own lust, it's you that needs to become stronger spiritually. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here today and just getting to see this topic in the Word of God. Help us to understand about who Satan is and what power he does have, what he does not have, some misconceptions about hell and various different things, God. And help us to fight against sin in our life. Help us to fight against it and pray to you and do everything we can to overcome the sins and the problems in our lives, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's take our hymn books and turn to hymn number 201. For our last song, let's sing the song, Jesus, I Am Trusting. Game number 201.
Mind.
Except a short week.